I'll be reading Romans 6, 3 through 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christians was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too many live a new life.
Welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. We're glad that you're here today on this Sunday morning. And I know Carl has laid the gauntlet down. He set the timer for 15 minutes last week. It's the happiest bunch of folks I've ever seen. So,
clock's ticking.
School has started back, or will start back soon, and kind of gets things back into a routine, and we look forward to that in the days that are ahead. But we're glad that you're here. I want to talk today about love for God. Love for God, which is the theme of the Scripture, but is of tremendous importance when we talk about loving God and what that really means for us to love God. As you know, Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? It was a trap from by those who ask it. It was, anytime we can pin him down on a point, then we can begin to build disagreement among those that point. So Jesus readily answers the question of what the greatest commandment is, and it is to love the Lord your God. It's the greatest commandment, to love God. And then the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, because on these two hinge, hang, balance all the law and the prophets. All the other laws hang off those two of loving God and loving your neighbor. So I want to talk about loving God. What does that mean for us to love God? Well, Paul will write to the Romans about the symbolism of baptism, which is important. It is the occasion where we come in contact with the saving blood of Jesus. But he talks about it is a burial. And we've talked about, who do we bury? Those who are dead, right? We all got that. We've been to funerals. And we bury those who are dead. And then there's this resurrection, this raising to walk in a newness of life. So what does it mean to die? Well, it's to die to the old self. It's for those sins to die and that life of sinfulness to die, and for us to be raised to walk in holiness, in God's ways. To die to sin, but also to die to self. To die to self. And that's the aspect I want us to focus on for a moment this morning. Dying to self and what that means. Does that mean that we don't love ourselves at all anymore? I think it's a relevant question for us to ask. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case, because how are we supposed to love others? As we love ourselves, right? Jesus acknowledges nobody that doesn't take care of themselves. And so we ought to love others in the same way. So this thought that we don't love ourselves at all is not what the Scripture is getting at, but it is that we love ourselves less and love God more. That we die to self in that, in as children, both physically and spiritually as children. I'll give you that. Typically, we are selfish. Right? When you're a baby and you cry, who needs something? You do. Right? You're not crying because somebody else needs something. You're crying because you need something. How many times do our children run around saying, "Yours, yours, yours"? It's mine, mine, mine. Right? There is a selfishness. And from a worldly perspective, sometimes we never grow out of that. Out of this, it's mine, mine, mine. I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going to get what I deserve. I deserve this. This is mine. And I am going to be very angry to anybody who tries to get between me and mine. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get mine. And really, from a worldly perspective, that's the view. You'll hear it said in seriousness, if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to? But the Christian's perspective is that we die to ourselves and that we love God more than we love ourselves, and that we love others more than we love ourselves. So instead of it being mine, mine, it's about caring for others and seeing that their needs are met as well, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Because that's what Jesus is about, isn't he? And he makes it very clear. To those who would come follow him, Jesus says, if you are coming for reward in this life, you are coming to the wrong place. I don't even have a home. Jesus said, I don't even have a home. He said, even the birds have a nest, and foxes have a den. Wild animals have a home. I don't even have a place to lay my head. I don't have a thing. So if you're coming for that, you're coming for the wrong thing. But if you are coming to be of service to God and the blessing that God will care for you and that there are great rewards and blessings in the world to come, you've come to the right place. But if it's about, this is the best way to get me where I want to be, like American Express or it's Visa, that's everywhere you want to be, isn't it? Jesus says following me does not get you everywhere you want to be. It's about coming to be of service to God and loving God and honoring God. Jesus will even say that we should love mother and father less than we love ourselves, right? Or not that we love, that we love God. That we have to put God first. Now, are we not supposed to honor and respect our parents? Actually, it's a biblical command. But not ahead of God. That loving God first is a priority. And that if we let those other relationships interfere with our service to God, they're inappropriate. That they have to fall in an appropriate line, in an appropriate place. Can we only give to God part of ourselves? Can we only give to God part of ourselves? Or our whole self? And that's really, it's going to be actually, I might beat Carl today. At least on time. Maybe that is all. But for you, that might be enough. Josh says it's enough. But it doesn't keep the point from being very important. Very important. What can I bring to God? I've shared with you many times before, one of the Christmas songs that I like, I guess this is a term to say I like it, is the song about the little drummer boy. And the line in the little drummer boy is the recognition the little drummer boy has that I have no gift to bring that's fit to give the king. It's really a very relevant question for us to ask. What gift can we bring that is worthy of the Lord and King? To love God, what can we bring? What can we bring to God? Let's read from Psalms 50. In this psalm, there's the conversation back and forth between the righteous and the unrighteous. And so here's the conversation to those who offer sacrifice. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifice or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. Right, they're making offerings. Were they supposed to make offerings? They absolutely were. Offering for sin. They were to make offerings as part of their bounty. He said, but here's what God says. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. What's the psalmist saying? What does God need from us to provide for Him? Nothing. There's nothing that we can do or give that benefits God from a physical standpoint. God doesn't need us to produce so He can eat. God doesn't need us to produce and give so His bank account will grow. God doesn't need us to perform in any way that benefits Him from a physical standpoint. And that's certainly important for us to realize, because it's easy for us to become satisfied, even prideful, about all the things we've done for God. And maybe we have. Maybe it's money we've given. Maybe it's time we've given. Maybe it's mission trips that we've done. You fill in the blanks for whatever it is that you do. And are those things important? Well, they are. Does God appreciate our service? He does. But what does it have to be motivated out of? Out of love. It has to be motivated out of love. I'm actually going to use my handheld device. What about that? How much do I owe you? Said the husband to his wife, for standing beside me through the hard years of my life. Shall I bring you diamonds? Back before political correctness. Shall I buy you furs? Say the word. And it's yours. And his wife said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the riches of the world would never be enough. And I won't take less than your love. How much do I owe you? Said the man, said the mother. To the mother, said the son. For all that you have taught me in the days when I was young. Shall I bring expensive blankets to cast upon your bed and a pillow for to rest your weary head? And the mother said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the comforts of the world could never be enough, and I won't take less than your love. How much do I owe you, said the man to his Lord, for giving me this day and every day that's gone before? Shall I build a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? Tell me, Lord, and I will pay the price. And the Lord said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of the world could never be enough, and I won't take less than your love. I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of the world can never be enough. And I won't take less than your love. A popular song, but probably sums up what the Scripture says better than I could have stood up here for hours to say. Because we get the picture. with our spouses and with our parents for the sacrifices that we make for each other. And it's really a payment that physically can't be paid. There's not an amount of money that you can put on that. Nor is there really an amount of money that we desire from our loved ones. It is just love. And so there's no way we can pay the debt that the Lord paid for us. And so what does God desire from us? Not our sacrifices, not our gifts, not even our time. Although those are all things we should give to God, but only in response because we have given God our love. Everything that we are, that we love God. And so we realize not just because God has given it all to us, but because we love God, our very being and all that we have is His. Because God loved us and gave us everything that He had. Not because He had to, but because He loved us. And we only know how to love because God first loved us. If you need to respond, do that while we stand and sing.